Welcome to Security Guy Radio at ASIS 2016 in beautiful Orlando, Florida. What's your name, sir?
Larry Bowe.
And what's the name of your company?
It's Pure Tech Systems.
Give me that website.
It's www.puretechsystems.com.
P-U-R-E-T-E-C-H.
Systems, plural, yeah.
Systems, plural. Okay.
Yeah, one word.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And thanks. What do you guys do?
We develop video analytics, and then we put that in an entire system, and we've primarily targeted that for like perimeter protection and border protection. And we also incorporate a geospatial aspect of that as well. So we actually know where the camera is in the real world. And we take all of that information from the pixels and map it into the terrain space. So we can, I like to say, we make a real live Pokemon Go. Because if somebody shows up on that map in the video, we know exactly where they are on the map and we classify them. So we'll know that it's a human or a car, and we can present it on the map. So it gets you much better situational awareness than just looking through a camera.
And that sounds a little different than other video management systems I've heard.
It is.
It's unique,
it
right?
Is. It is. It's quite unique. And the other thing we can do is that because we know geolocation, we can steer cameras as well. So we'll take a camera and we can point it right at the target.
Right.
And then we can kick in another algorithm we have, which will lock on the target and track it automatically as well with the camera. So we're actually processing the video feed. So, you know, it looks very simple when you look at it, but under the covers, it's computer vision that we're doing, which is quite sophisticated.
My little Security Guy Radio reptilian brain has a hard time getting wrapped around things like this.
Right.
And I've asked this question a lot this week. Explain to me how video analytics works. I just can't get my mind around
it. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if I got a Word document, I can index it. I go to the properties. I put in some keywords. Yeah. You don't do that with video. I can't put a million keywords to describe that scene. But the video software now is going out and identifying the camera image as that's a brown car and it's on a street. I mean, it knows these things. How does it do it? It's
amazing. I mean, I don't know all the details of it, but under the covers, basically you're doing computer vision. So every single pixel that's in that image has thousands of calculations going on every single pixel. And what you're attempting to do is understand what is normal and learn what is normal. And then,
machine learning, e-learning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so when something comes in there that's not considered part of the background, and so the efficacy of all of it is how good is your background model? How well are you able to, identify things that are not part of the background, separate those out? And that's where the real challenge comes in and ability to do it well. And one of the key things we have is that geospatial information. So once you know the range to the target, one of the key things you have there then is you know the target's real attributes like size, speed, those kinds of things, rather than just looking at it in the image space. So you're almost turning the camera into like a passive radar.
Yeah, it's all math. It's all the math, right?
A lot of math.
Now, years ago when somebody said they do this in real time, that didn't really mean real time.
Yeah.
But now it does.
Yeah. Yeah, the horsepower of the computers is what's really enabled so much more sophisticated algorithms to take place. So, we're leveraging GPU cards that really, frankly, are there because of the kids that play games. And I guess not even kids anymore. A lot of adults play games on computers as well now. But we're able to run our code on those GPU cards. And so the power of these computers is getting, just going up exponentially, which allows you to run much, much more sophisticated algorithms.
Now you're going to have to give me one of those cards, because when I try to render these
videos... You probably already have one.
I don't have a good one, because it takes me an hour to render one of these videos. But no, I went out and bought a Mac Pro, right?
Yeah.
It's that nice little cylinder. What a beautiful machine.
Right.
Apple, you guys are great, but, it wouldn't render a 4K for 60 frames a second.
Right.
And it took hours to process a video, and I'm going... Wait a minute, how come? Because I know something about what you're doing, right? These guys can render this stuff in real time. And then I went and bought an HP, and I customized it with all those things you're talking about.
Right.
And the thing is screaming, right? So it is about those
graphic profiles. It is. In fact, like this
this
computer,
is one of your products here?
Yeah, this is just an off-the-shelf computer that we use. And so this is an embedded embedded computer that's all solid state. And that is powerful enough now that you can actually process like four cameras worth of data on that one box in real time.
Wow.
And so,
that's amazing.
You couldn't even really do that probably 2 years ago. And so just the acceleration of the hardware technology is then enabling the software. And so you can just keep throwing more and more powerful algorithms. I mean, these are things that, frankly, 20 years ago, take a Cray computer to do it on.
Exactly.
And you couldn't have even done it in real time. So
no, I remember my first, we had some of the first digital cameras because, at the studios, we had a budget, we could afford it, right?
Right.
And I had you know, four cameras and one computer and what are they called, switchers and what all those other things they called. I can't remember where they all come. Anyway, right. $25,000 to get four cameras up and running.
Yeah.
And it recorded a week.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And you had to override.
And so you open up a whole new market when you get the price point down where it's reasonable.
Yeah.
And you can simplify how it gets set up. And, you know, the average person can actually, integrator can actually take it and put it in. But, yeah, we've got eight patents in the space and several pending. And they're all around the computer vision side of things. You know, our background learning model.
Right.
All of our tracking capability. And the interesting thing is that this stuff bridges across other markets. So if you look at what's going on in the autonomous vehicle market, you know, they're using the same type of technology for detecting and steering cars or UAVs, the drones.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All this computer vision technology along with other sensors. Even if you look at a LiDAR is actually giving you information, but the information and the way you use it, the very similar algorithms process that data as do video. But you think about a LiDAR has maybe 50,000 points of data in one sweep. On a camera, you have like 5 megapixels, you know, not per second, per 1/30th of a second or 1/60th of a second. So the amount of data involved in camera and what it can give you is just so much richer than like a LiDAR at this point. So, you know, if you can take that information and extract, it's the ultimate big data application.
Right.
You know.
Now, talk to me about compliance, talk to me about privacy, talk to me about things like that you run up against on your side of the business, because in some countries, they're not digging this kind of stuff and very restrictive. I mean, let's face it, it's here to stay. We're not, gonna
not
have
going to
not have cameras
away.
Get rid of it. But there is an ethical component where you have to balance out this sort
there
of thing.
There is.
You know, drones bother me. You put a 7K camera on a drone, land it on your roof.
Right.
And I'm watching what's going on. Right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the laws have to change in that regard. You know, you talk about over like, you know, private residencies and such. You know, what's public space and what isn't, you know?
Exactly, right.
And so you're flying a drone over and, you know, looking into somebody's backyard. Obviously, you're invading on their privacy, but there's no laws about going vertical right now, you know?
Exactly.
And so I think the laws have to catch up and there's going to have to be some thought put into that. I would say in general, the security industry is very conscious of that, and you know, because you have operations, maybe a utility, and they're right next to a neighborhood, and you know, they'll put in zones in the camera that programmatically do not allow it to go look in those areas.
Okay.
And they're blacked out essentially. So
that's good.
You know, if you tried to take and pan, you'd just hit a black space until you jumped over. And so there's ways to, you know, mitigate that. The drone thing's a little more problematic. You know, how do you black out?
Yeah.
All of that, but it technology is there, and you can absolutely do it. It's just a matter of, you know, what are the laws going to say we have to do.
Now, data is traditionally viewed as, you know, ones and zeros and ABC and something you can
read. It's
all
ones and zeros at the end of the day.
And film is, right? And video is ones and zeros at the end of the day now.
Absolutely.
But are people having a hard time getting their head around this fact that or does video have a carve out, an exception that says, yeah, it's protected, we encrypted, so on and so forth, but I'm not sure that the consumer views it as data, right? They think of their social security number, their ID, my biometrics, that's data I want to protect.
Right.
And I think it's a slippery slope. We got to be careful, right? That you're taking a picture of something on a camera and it's an image and I'm in public. But as you just said, what is public?
Right.
And as these images become, you know, 4K or 7K, and you can see the
mole
on my face.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then it's used, my image is used for something.
Yes.
Are we crossing lines, you know?
Right.
Do you come across this in any other countries where you have more restrictions on your cameras in a country or a zone or an area that they're not all the same, right?
They're not all the same, but, you know, we're operating in other countries quite a bit in the Middle East, and we haven't found that they're any more restrictive than the U.S. Now, if you get into the U.K. market, you know, they have a kind of limits on the amount of time you can retain video.
That's
and then you have to
in the UK.
In the UK.
They got more cameras than anybody.
They do, but you have to dump your data at a certain point. So unless they pulled it off for some evidentiary purposes, you have to, you know, have your recorder actually be able to groom that off.
Now,
so most of the people are trying to maintain it for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
They're saying, okay, after, I can't remember if it's 30 or 45 days, it's got to be gone, which
now,
I think is a good
gone,
a good
thing. Gone, meaning they want you to literally erase it?
Erase it.
You can't send it to... Put it on a slow boat, send it back to the United States and save it.
No, it's got to be erased.
Interesting. See, I don't see the value in that, right? Because
Well,
we probably have, as video analytics get better, I guarantee you, if we had all the camera train shots from London for the last 3 years, something like your software can go through there and say, guess what, pal? you're going to have a bombing in the next 6 months. Yeah. Here's why.
Yeah. The forensic value of it is getting amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you've got
it's like Rumsfeld used to say that they made fun of, which I still think is a brilliant statement. It's what we don't know. That's what we, the known knowns and the unknown knowns. Yeah. And we could have the answer to solving the next terrorist strike, but if England's dumping all their data.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the real power of this is the pattern recognition part as well. So as you obtain all of this information, if you can look at it over time, temporally, and start to extract trends, you know, you can learn an awful lot. And that's where it's going. There's big guys working on this too. Like Google's working these problems. You know, they're doing all kinds of interesting thing with search and being able to, you know, pluck out something in the middle of a picture. That's a car. That's a flower. You know, just the taxonomy of a picture. And a video is no more than a bunch of pictures, right?
That's right.
And
I went to the Texas Night Party here at As Is, and I took a general photo of a crowd, and in the foreground was somebody as close as you, but in the background was a friend of mine, and it was a teeny little pinhead. I mean, you had to get your 3+ glasses on to look at it. The second I posted it, Google had it recognized and knew it was my friend's name. And I said, that's not impossible.
Right.
I mean, I could get you and I sitting here in a nice close resolution, right? It's getting kind of scary.
Yeah, that's all the megapixels there that you can extract all that information. And that's one of our keys, actually, is that we don't require a lot of pixels to actually detect that it's a human. We only require like 40 pixels. And so we can be looking off literally out, like on the border, we could be looking off 5 miles and detect something and lock on it and start tracking it automatically.
So we're not, in the old days, it was I looked at a photo and I squinted and I, quote, enhanced it because I tuned it with color. And that's all old school. We're getting into the ones and zeros behind those photos and those pixels, and we're analyzing that and telling us that's a dog, that's a cat, that's brown, that's a car.
Yeah, and that's all the
classification. And all cars kind of look the same. Yeah.
And the classification capability is getting to be quite remarkable. And you've probably heard of this new technology called deep learning.
Yes, deep learning.
And, you know, and they're even putting deep learning algorithms inside of chips. And so they're accelerating how quickly you can actually execute these algorithms. And you can put huge data sets at things to actually learn. And so these deep learning systems are getting very smart about identifying what targets are. And I don't know because I'm not part of Google, but I suspect that's the kind of technology they're using.
I suspect Google's using everything.
Absolutely.
Larry, thanks for coming on the show. Let's give us your website again.
It's puretechsystems.com.
Excellent. And your name and title?
Larry Bowe. I'm the CEO of Pure Tech Systems.
You're in Hollywood. Come by the studio and bring us some more examples.
Awesome.
And we could log in and show some maybe samples on air.
That would be cool.
How
we could actually
online.
Do that.
Cool.
We've got a lot of video up on our website
people
that'd
be great.
Can see as well.
Great. Larry, thanks for coming on the studio.
Thank you. Take care.